Turn to Luke chapter 7. I want to speak about when things don't go as expected this morning. Luke chapter 7, begin reading in verse 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said to them, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended of me. John was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. He was called from birth to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah, to get people ready for that. His father was a priest, faithfully fulfilling his responsibilities in the temple. His mother was a cousin of Mary. That would make John and Jesus Christ second cousins. They were born 6 months apart, John 6 months older than Jesus Christ, about 70 miles apart in the towns which they were born in and raised in. But John kind of bursts onto the scene, eager to fulfill his calling, which was prophesied by Isaiah. And he had to have been quite a sight. He's wearing this leather and animal skin for clothing and eating insects and wild honey, raw honey. He was an unconventional character, to say the least. And he boldly preached the word of God. He stirred up the religious establishment by his call for repentance and his calling out of the Pharisees for the hypocrisy. Said, you want to get baptized? Then show me you deserve to be. Bring forth meat for repentance. He was bold. He was filled with zeal and with the power of God as he preached. Many people came as a result of that. He was a central figure leading up to Jesus Christ presenting himself and beginning his own public ministry. He was a tremendous agent of change. I mean, multitudes were following, became disciples of John the Baptist. In readiness for Jesus Christ coming on the scene. There's a great movement of God that John was the central part of. And just like that, he ends up in prison. All the stuff is going on, and just as Jesus Christ is beginning his earthly ministry now, which John was preparing for, suddenly John is snatched out, thrown in prison, awaiting death. And that's where he is in this passage which we just read, in prison. He's locked up, shut off from his followers, bound and alone. And the future doesn't look very hopeful. And he's there waiting and wondering in this pit of gloom and despair and silence. Ever been there? Have you ever felt like God just kind of forgot about you? And you see, it seems like you're alone. That's where John is. And as he's in there, the news begins to kind of make its way into the prison of some amazing things taking place. The lame are starting to walk. The blind are given sight. The deaf are able to hear. The lepers are being cleansed. And even the dead are being raised back to life again. As John is sitting there and just trying to figure out, what did I do wrong, God? Why has this happened to me? This news comes and you think, well, maybe I'm about to be sprung. Maybe God in some miraculous way is going to free me from this and bring judgment on my enemies. Well, not quite. His head was taken off and it was given to that little tart and her wicked mother as a prize, because he'd stood before Herod and charged him with his wickedness that he had done. He was beheaded. Didn't turn out as he expected, did it? His circumstances did not match his expectations. And I'm sure that at some point in our lives, each of us, if not, we will be in a similar situation. And he sends two of his disciples to find out what's going on. And he's troubled by all this. You know, what's going on? Too often, we've got our own idea about what God should be doing. God, if I were you, this is how I'd handle this situation. And then we get mad because he doesn't follow our demands, our expectations. We got a certain way that we think things should be done and a certain time in which they should be accomplished, right? God, what are you waiting for? Why is this happening? And God's intervention isn't readily recognized or understood. And in all there is in response to our prayers is silence. What do? You know, God can do whatever he wants. He's God. And whatever he does is right. But it just doesn't always turn out the way we expect. It didn't with John. And even Jesus Christ himself. You think about that prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, just prior to his betrayal and arrest and crucifixion. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But it didn't, did it? And the suffering, as Bunny mentioned, that Darlene had said there about what he suffered. I don't think we can even fully grasp the physical agony that Jesus Christ experienced on the cross. And that's only part of it. There was a mental and a spiritual struggle as well, as he hung on that cross and cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Several weeks ago in our study in Hebrews, it struck me in one of the passages, I can't remember exactly what it was now, but it was Hebrews 13, verse 5. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's something he did to Jesus Christ. He promises that he will not do to us, but that Jesus Christ experienced, left and forsaken of God. Think about that. When the things don't turn out as we expect, we become overwhelmed with doubt, fear, despair. We don't understand. We feel like God's let us down. And then we begin to feel guilty for feeling like that. Just to compound it. What do you do? I got three things that we need to do when it seems like God has forsaken us. First thing is pray. Well, duh, right? But no, think about it. A lot of times, we don't really believe God. And we don't trust him. John is sent for these people, say, hey, what's going on here? What's the problem? And when we pray, do we really pray? Look at Job chapter 10. Job chapter 10. And certainly Job is an excellent illustration of what I'm talking about this morning. Job chapter 10 and verse 1. My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. He's just telling God how he feels. His complaint, the bitterness of his soul. Well, we're not supposed to be bitter, but he is. And he's being completely honest and open before God about that. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me whereas thou contendest with me. Is it good unto thee that thou shouldst oppress, that thou shouldst despise the work of thy hands and shine upon the counsel of the wicked? Ooh. He's telling God how he feels. Why are you doing this, God? Look at chapter 23. Job 23. Verse 1. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Job's been through it. And he's just being honest with God about how he feels. Man, God, if I could just get in your presence, get in your face, and hear you. Well, you know, he got the answer finally, didn't he? Took a while, but God finally answered him. What did he say? I repent in dust and ashes. Oh God, I'm such a miserable wretch. Over there in chapter 42. But he wasn't afraid to make his complaint known to God. Pray. Be honest with God about how you feel. He knows already. It's no surprise to him. Just pour out your heart to him. Psalm 102. Psalm 102 and verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an earth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican in the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch him and as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Psalm 142, verse 1. I cried unto the Lord my voice, with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out, notice this again, my complaint before him. He complained to God. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, had they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, and behold, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord, I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from the persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, and I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. You know, sometimes we've got this idea that though we should always trust God, we should always be completely at peace. When we're not, we somehow have to disguise that. Well, Job didn't. The Psalms didn't. And we shouldn't. It doesn't justify being like that, but it also doesn't justify being a phony. Be honest before God. Psalm 62. We put on a happy face, but inside we're full of this complaint and bitterness. Need to get it out. Need to deal with it. Psalm 62 and verse 8. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. If there's anything you can be, anyone you can be completely honest with, it's God. Amen. That's what he expects. So when you pray, pray. Pour out your soul to him. Just put it all out on the table. There it is, God. I said it. There's how I feel. There's what I'm going through, God. And I put myself in your hands. John expressed his doubts about the whole situation he's in and was never rebuked for that. Look at back at chapter 7 of Luke. He told them verse 22, Jesus answered, said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. He called people to him, and he done these things. He says, how the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Here's the thing you need to tell John. So, John's supposed to figure that out for himself. I want you to think about this, John. I want you to reflect upon what's taking place. I want you to ponder that, and I want you to understand. But then note, he goes on here, verse 24. So he says, blessed is he, verse 23, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Don't be offended in this, John. This is of me. I got a purpose in this. It ain't going to turn out like you want, but I got a purpose in it. And then he says this, verse 24, and when messengers of John were departed, So he's given them the message. They go back. They're on their way to tell John what the Lord's told them. And Jesus begins to speak further after they've left. He began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? What went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. So to the audience that's there, he's telling them about John. And he says, he wasn't this gorgeously apparelled individual. Wearing leather and animal skin. Eating bugs. He wasn't he wasn't a pleasant character. He wasn't appealing. The figure that you would expect. But he says, verse 26, but won't we out to see a prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before me. You know what you saw? You saw God's servant. Amen. Prophesied several hundred years before he was even born. Fulfilling the plan and purpose of God. Much more than a prophet. Preparing my way. Verse 28, for I say unto you, among those that are born of woman, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. That's pretty high praise, isn't it? But the disciples of John didn't hear that, did they? At least not firsthand. They've already gone with the message. Here's what you need to tell John. Blessed is he whose word shall not be offended in me. Here's what's taken place. Just as you prophesied, as you prepared the way for me. Think about it, John. Psalm 42. Psalm chapter 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I have gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me, therefore I will remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All the waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime and the night. His song shall be with me in my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. We need to bring ourselves back. We need to confront, and this is the third point, we need to confront the circumstance with truth. Do you realize life is not about you and me? That's where the problem enters, see. We elevate ourselves. It's not what God expects. I'm to elevate Him. And everything that's going on in my life, God has a purpose in that. God had a purpose for John. And for a time, he enjoyed some great success and tremendous response to the preaching of his message. Amen. But then all of a sudden, it went south. And he didn't expect that. He knew what his calling was. He just didn't know what the end was going to be. But God did. God knew from the beginning. And he said, there is not a prophet born of woman greater than John the Baptist. But he was executed according to the plan and purpose of God. Life can be harsh. And life can be painful. And oftentimes, it's part of the plan and purpose of God. Yeah, there's times when it's God's discipline, just God's chastening hand on us. But you know what? Many times it's not. It's just what God has planned in your life for a purpose. To glorify Himself. And that's the truth. God's in control. Amen. We are made for His pleasure. That's our purpose for existing. But we get the idea that life ought to be about my pleasure. That's false. And then we're cross purposes with God's plan and purpose. And then we get mad and frustrated and shake our fist at God. He says, no, that's not what it's about. Look, tell John what's going on here. Just what he was to expect. All these amazing things are taking place. Just don't be offended at me, John. Don't be angry. I got a plan. Life can be rough. In fact, it's so rough that most of us won't make it out of here alive. It's not the end. 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. This is written by Peter. Remember Peter? Yeah. Hey, Pete, you need to pray. I'm going to go off over here and I'm going to pray, and the rest of you, you need to pray. You're asleep, man. What's going on? Come on, get up and pray. You guys fell asleep again. Come on, man. Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. I pray for you. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And that's what he's doing. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's suffering, not offended in Him, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Chapter 1, verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. See, Peter's speaking from experience. I've been through the fiery trial. I stood around that fire and I cursed my Savior and denied that I knew him. And as he did that, he looked up and his eyes met the Savior's eyes. And he went out and wept bitterly. But he's come through that fire. And now he's committed to try to help others. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 2. My brethren, one of the guys that fell asleep when the Lord told him to pray while he went off yonder and prayed. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Don't be afraid to pour out your complaint to God. Be honest with him. But then listen. What an example of Darlene. God, why am I in so much pain? Nothing compared to what I went through for you. Amen. Why did God allow that to happen to her? I don't know. I have no idea. I may never know. And she may never know this side of glory, but God's got a purpose. Amen. So that's terrible. Well, yeah, it is from a human perspective. But you see, as Gary was talking in Sunday school about the infiniteness of God, what do we see? Just what's right here in front of us. And there's so much more beyond that, that God sees that we have no even imagination of. I mean, think about it. Right in this room, right here, right now, there could be all kinds of spiritual warfare taking place. So what do you mean, preacher? I mean, like Elisha had his servants' eyes opened that he could see, and they saw the hosts of heaven there surrounded them. Well, the hosts of hell were there too. And that conflict is taken on, it's occurring constantly, folks. And so while we've got God's messengers here with us, Satan's are probably here too, waging that battle. And that's only a small part of what we are not aware of. Amen. That God knows completely. And what God is doing and the purpose that God has. Look at James 5, verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job and seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. It wasn't the end of Job. It was the end of the Lord. It wasn't the end of John the Baptist. It was the end of the Lord. That's what we need to focus on. confront the circumstance of truth. Look, Christianity is not an escape from the reality. If we really grasp the truth of the Word of God, we understand, like Job, man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward, he said. He that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. I know, you know, you got to temper that with Job's situation too. But the fact is, life gets tough. Amen. But life isn't the end of the Lord. And we grasp the reality that people have accidents and people get cancer and other bad things happen in good people's lives. And this faithful servant of God ended up in prison awaiting his beheading. But that wasn't the end of the Lord. That was the end of John the Baptist on this life, as he was then ushered into eternity. Christianity is not an escape from reality. That's what drugs and alcohol and just constant activity and noise is. People trying to escape reality. If we've got a true biblical outlook on it, we understand reality better than the world does. And the fact that this is just preparation for eternity. We grasp reality, and by God's grace, we navigate through this minefield victoriously. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Who better to address this than the Apostle Paul? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. And labors more abundant. Now, folks might say, well, he's bragging here. No, he says, I speak as a fool. But he says, I'm going to get down on your level so that you can get a hold of what I'm trying to teach you. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? For if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. And Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Paul didn't live a charmed life. Anything but. But then you go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and you read this. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 6. The end of the Lord. For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. As he writes these words to young Timothy from prison, he's, my time's coming up. You know, I'm just like John the Baptist was. soon my execution is going to be carried out. And I'm ready. Ready to be offered. Ready to depart and to be with Christ. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Well, Christian, confront your circumstances with truth. God's working in you a far more better and eternal weight of glory.
Amen.
And oh, it can get tough at times. It can get more than tough at times. But God hasn't forsaken you.
Amen.
And He's working a purpose in it. That He be glorified. And that's all He wants of us. It's whatever He allows into our lives for us to allow it to reflect upon Him. That's what my God is doing, and I may not understand it. I may not even like it. But I trust in my refuge, my rock, my strong deliverer.
Amen.
That He knows what He's doing.
Yeah.
And He knows why. And then Paul finishes with, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. When things don't turn out as you expect, pray. Reflect. And confront the circumstance with truth. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord, help us to, though it's impossible, to strive at least to some degree to see through Your eyes. And when we can't figure it out, when we don't understand it, to not lean on our own understanding, but to in all our ways acknowledge You and allow You to direct our paths. Oh God, help us. Help those that are struggling with some things right now. God, help us to see that it's not about me, it's about You. And may our lives show You forth and magnify You. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.